For what feels like the dozenth time in a row, Zuko checks his own pocket. In his thick polar leopard fur parka, even a set of solid gold hair beads and combs is small enough, light enough to feel insubstantial. Still, he is aware of its presence. Almost too aware of it at times.
I'm surprised the two of you haven't gotten all this settled before now.
There is a familiar look in Hakoda's eyes, the same one that Uncle gives him every time the subject of marriage comes up. A look of curiosity and impatience that usually comes just before another casual inquiry about when Zuko plans to marry Katara. But Hakoda isn't quite as pushy as Uncle.
I wouldn't have blamed you if you'd decided to elope before you made it back to the South Pole.
Zuko offers a sheepish shrug.
Apparently that's not the proper way to do things. I've thought about it every day for months now, and I doubt Katara would have minded, but I don't need to make her life any more difficult by proposing the wrong way.
And what about my life?
Kana thumps her walking stick against the floor.
I'm not getting any younger here. If you two don't hurry up, I'll never get to meet my great-grandchildren.
Hakoda frowns.
Mother.
It's a fact of life, dear. We can't all be King Bumi and live as many centuries as we please.
I'm going to ask her, Zuko says. Before we go north again, I swear.
His pulse quickens at the sound of his own admission, and he checks his pocket for a reassurance. The engagement gift itself is as close to perfect as he can ever hope, but he's less sure about his ability to actually propose.
I'm not sure about kids yet, but you'll at least know if she wants to marry me before we leave.
Oh, I wouldn't worry about that part.
Kana waves a knobby hand at him.
I've known my granddaughter long enough to know the look she gets in her eyes when she's made up her mind. She's decided what she's going to say. And frankly, I don't think she would have dragged you all the way down here if it was no.
Though Zuko's heart still races, he manages a smile before Katara bursts into the house, cheeks flushed with cold and hair glistening with ice crystals at its tips.
There you are, Kana says. We were just talking about you, weren't we, boys?
Zuko feels his face flush, and Katara looks from him to Kana and back again.
Well, that's always reassuring. Thanks, Gran-Gran.
Before there can be any further response, Katara grabs his hand and pulls back toward the door again.
I think we're going to leave before you fill my boyfriend's head with any more embarrassing stories.
He makes no effort to resist, and before he knows it, Katara has led him out into the snow and halfway down the street toward the burgeoning waterbending academy.
So how bad is it?
She asks, looping her mittened hands around his arm.
Did they tell you about the time when I froze all of my dad's underwear to the side of the council hut because he wouldn't let me keep an otter penguin in our tent?
His eyebrow creeps ever so slightly upward.
You did?
Okay, I'm going to take that as a no and also as a sign that I need to stop giving away my secrets.
Still walking, she buries her face in his arm.
Stop me the next time I try to embarrass myself, okay?
A snort bursts out of him.
I would, but I know for a fact that Uncle tells you so much worse about me every chance he gets. Even Sokka is too busy to tell me any embarrassing stories about you most of the time.
I'd really like to keep it that way.
They make it only a step or two farther before her mood seems to lighten again, and she pulls just far enough back to steer him around a corner.
Maybe you can come with me to watch waterbending lessons tomorrow instead of spending the whole morning alone with Dad and Gran-Gran.
He certainly isn't opposed to the idea. Any excuse to spend more time with her is always welcome, even if all that entails is sitting quiet at the sidelines while Katara guides a group of noisy, energetic children through their waterbending forms. He agrees, and as Katara leads him past the bending academy, pointing out all the practice space and sparring areas, he checks his pocket one more time. The combs and beads still rest there, exactly where they should be. And Zuko lets out a long, slow breath. Two opposing impulses battle inside his chest. On the one hand, he's been waiting to find the right moment, the perfect moment, for weeks now. If she's going to remember this for the rest of their lives, the least he can do is propose to her properly. But on the other hand, his patience with himself is running thin, and the brilliant warmth of her enthusiasm strains his resolve to its breaking point. If he doesn't ask her soon, he might well lose his mind. so when their winding path takes them to the far side of the village, he can hardly bring himself to stop alongside her.
Oh, spirits, we should probably go back before you freeze out here.
What?
Though his face tingles a bit when a breeze passes by, though he's certain that his cheeks are crimson from the chill, he doesn't feel cold. Not enough to turn back, at least.
No, I'm fine. It isn't that cold.
Katara raises an eyebrow.
It isn't,
he insists.
I was just thinking.
About what?
Under the intensity of her gaze, his mouth goes dry, and it takes all his will to keep from checking his pocket again. Instead, he nods toward the path leading out of the village.
I was thinking that there's probably a great view from the hill over there, especially around sunset.
Her lips twitch into a crooked smile, and the grip on his hand tightens ever so slightly.
You do realize that the sun isn't really going to set for a few more days, right? If you want to wait out there until sunset, you really will freeze.
In that case, I guess I can settle for half an hour. But I think you're underestimating my ability to keep myself warm.
I could never. You're the one who keeps my feet warm every night.
She bumps him lightly with her hip before starting up the path. But you might be underestimating the South Pole's wind. It's all that Zuko can do to keep his composure as they make their way up the sloping path. But he waits, and when they reach the crest of the hill, Katara stretches before turning a brilliant smile back on him.
Okay, I'll admit it. Freezing or not, this view is worth it.
Though Zuko has trouble focusing on the landscape, he can't help but agree with her. The afternoon sun paints shining bronze streaks through her hair, and her eyes shine as bright as he's ever seen them before. He grasps her hand before she can go any further.
Katara, I wanted to ask you something.
His heart sits at the back of his throat. Despite her family's confidence, despite his own suspicion that Katara will say yes, he can't seem to push the worry away.
Oh?
She looks up, and her gaze pierces him. Silently, he thanks the spirits that it's cold enough to keep his mittens on so that Katara won't know how much his palms are sweating. He fumbles in his pocket until at last his fingers close around the little box of combs and beads.
Being with you has been one of the best things that's ever happened to me. Every day that we're together, you mean more to me, and now...
He succeeds in extracting the box from his pocket and fumbles to turn it right side up. Before he can finish, Katara lets out a squeak of surprised excitement and claps her hands to her mouth.
Yes! Yes, of course I will!
Zuko blinks, and a surprising amount of tension leaves his chest and shoulders all at once.
You realize I haven't actually finished the question yet, right?
Oh, right. I knew that.
She makes an apparent effort at bringing her expression back under control, then motions for him to continue.
Go on.
Despite his best effort at solemnity, a smile breaks across his face.
I'm not sure I can remember what I wanted to say anymore. I swear I had this all planned out yesterday.
Looking down, he clears his throat and slides open the richly engraved lid so that she can see the beads and the combs lying in neat rows inside their case.
But I love you, Katara. And even if I can't remember the right words, I would be honored if you would marry me.
This time, Katara isn't content to merely smile at him. This time, she springs forward and throws her arms around his neck.
Yes, of course I'll marry you.
Zuko laughs, and as his arms close tight around her waist, the world seems to slow. Right now, with Katara in his arms and the future opening up around them, all the urgency in the world is gone.